Dee, good morning, or almost midday now, isn't it? We often feel like we have many days lived when we're in Madhuban, and it could be because they start so early. They seem like many days all in one day. This morning we have an honor. I think it's very much an honor to introduce to you Sister Shilu. Sister Shilu is one of the handful of sisters, women-bodied souls, who live here on these campuses. I don't know if you've noticed, but we have many, many brothers living here. I'm told in Pandabhavan 250 brothers. I'm not sure how many here in Gyantse are over, but maybe as many. And then we have 5, 6, 7 sisters. And you know why that is, because the brothers are needed for stirring the big food pots and hanging the laundry, doing the heavy work. And the sisters, many of our sisters, perform this function of being on stage, giving classes. Sister Shilu is in charge of the Raj Yoga camps. So every year, thousands and thousands of Indians come through these doors and learn how to meditate, and she's in charge of that. She is, she's been living here in Madhuban, not in this campus, but in the downstairs campus, Pandabhavan, just the one campus below us. She's been living there for 40 years, so she's kind of like the mother of the place, one of the mothers, few mothers. And she's been in this knowledge as a student for 55 years. So one thing we know about Sister Shilu is she has stamina. She has stamina. Another thing we know about her is that she's an incredibly royal soul. If you watch her move through the campus, she's surrounded by thousands of people every day. And yet she moves almost as if she's floating. You know, one of those airport walking things that carry you? It's kind of, she moves through the campus as if she's floating, and that she's always in solitude, and yet surrounded all the time by people, a very royal soul, a good example for all of us, and a very good yogi. And this morning, Shilu Ben, Sister Shilu, as we call her affectionately, is going to introduce you to peace and to where peace comes from inside ourselves. So she's a wonderful teacher, and we're very lucky to have her, and she comes every year to Peace of Mind because she loves this program. One more thing I'll say about her is the reason we all love her so much, many reasons, but one of them is that she is the voice of Madhuban. So all of us who live in the 135 countries outside of India and study at Brahmakumari centers, we all know her voice. Because every time a class comes from Madhuban, a special important class, and we tune in with our earphones or with our, you know, internet connection and our, as best we can, projectors and audio visuals, the voice that translates the Madhuban classes is Sister Shilu's. So we know and we love her voice, and she's like our connection to Madhuban out in the foreign lands. So very warm welcome, Shilu Ben, and thank you for being with us this morning. Om Shanti.
Thank you, Sister Judy, for introducing me so beautifully. Again, Om Shanti. Om Shanti. You must have heard this phrase everywhere in our campus. Om Shanti means I am a being of peace. And that's what the subject is today. The power of peace. And how to experience this power within the self. Who is the self? What is the definition of peace? Because when we talk about peace, there are so many different views or definitions. And also, what is the definition of power? And how to match power and peace together? This is what I'm going to speak on today. When we talk about power, it's a very powerful word, power. And when asked, what is the definition of power? They say, it's the money power, is a very great power, material power, machine power, manpower. You know, we talk about all these powers. And nowadays we talk about weapon power. There is also the power of position, authority. All these are different types of powers. And anyone who has any of these powers, he considers himself to be very powerful. Someone with a lot of money, he's a multi-millionaire, a billionaire, whatever, he considers himself to be very powerful because he thinks that with the power of money, he can buy anything. So he is very powerful. Somebody with manpower, a lot of people following him, he considers himself to be very powerful because he's one action, one signal is enough to invite all his people and they can do anything. People talk about machine power. These days, machine power is a great power. A person doesn't have to do anything. He has to just sit and control, that's all. And all the machines are doing his work. He doesn't have to move around. He has to just switch on and off, that's all. We also have brain power. It all started with the power of the wheel. In the earlier days, people used to walk and walk and walk for miles. And somebody thought of a wheel, and that wheel did the job. They just sat in a cart and animals pulled them. So the wheel worked and animals did the work of taking them. So this power of wheel grew gradually. Then we had bullock carts, we had horse carts, we had so many different types of carts. And then gradually it happened that, well, rest was given to the feet, to the legs. But what about the hands? They had to do a lot with their hands. And therefore machines were invented, where the machines did their work and they had to just sit, that's all. And everything was done by the machines. And then they said, they thought that, well, my legs have got relief, my hands have got relief, but what about our head? The head was thinking too much. They had to memorize so many things. And then the computer was invented. The computer did all the work of your brain. You didn't have to memorize anything. Everything was in the computer. So the brain got some rest, legs got rest, hands got rest. But what was the result? No walking. Sit in your car and you drive and you reach your destination, and therefore no exercise for the legs. no exercise for the hands, no exercise for the brain either. And the result was, we can see diseases, physical diseases, mental diseases, stress, strain, because the brain needs work, the legs need work, hands need work, and when they don't get work, then everything goes in a negative way. So it's definitely a very big power, but today we are seeing how that power is being misused. That power is being used in a negative way. And therefore, instead of really giving an advantage to us, it's a disadvantage. And people are now wanting to go back to the olden days. Well, we can't go back, we have to move forward. But definitely all these physical powers, external powers, they are short-lived. They cannot last forever. Someone has a lot of money, one day he can become a pauper, all the money gone. People talk about muscle power also. He may be very strong physically, a muscle man. But tomorrow, he meets with some disease, he gets a disease, or he breaks his leg, finish. He has to stay in bed for 2 months. And therefore we see that how all these powers are only temporary. Today he has many people supporting him, tomorrow they can betray him, they can cheat him. They can deceive him, you never know. Although machines may not deceive, but men can deceive. They have a brain. And how we are seeing that these machines are ultimately leading to weapon powers. Weapon power, and countries think they are very powerful if they have the nuclear bomb. But what are these things doing? They are only meant to destroy. So what science did was that although it was a bane, it was helpful, it was useful, but when not used properly, not understood properly, that boon became a bane. That means instead of really a blessing, it turned into a curse. And today everyone is so afraid. Any time a bomb can fall on me. There's so much fear. So we are seeing that how today this power, which is being misused, is turning into a curse. Because one power is missing, and that power is the power of peace. Which is not external, which is not achieved through machines or money or through men or through material or through weapons. It is something which is inside. And this is what everyone is looking for. In search of peace, they are creating more and more weapons. This is the irony of it. Why are so many weapons being invented? Why are these bombs being invented on the name of peace? That if I have a bomb and my neighbor also has a bomb, but we won't throw at each other, because if I throw, that one will also throw and both of us will die. So if we want to live at peace, in peace, then the other one has to be afraid of the bomb, of the other one, and that one of the first one. So it's a great irony. On the name of peace, they are producing weapons. But what exactly is the power of peace and how the power of peace helps us to really overcome these physical powers and how we can create a world of peace. Because now it's not the world of peace. Instead of P-E-A-C, it is P-I-E-C-E. Instead of peace, it is pieces. Countries are being divided. So instead of P-E-A-C-E, there are pieces. Why? Because peace really creates bridges. And wars create pieces. So what do we want? Do we want a bridge or do we want walls? What do we want? What do we want? Bridges or walls? Because walls means pieces. You that side, I this side. Don't come on my side, I won't come on your side. But we don't want walls, we want bridges so that we connect. Because all this is God's creation. We are one world family. The creation of the Almighty, the Supreme Being, the Supreme Father. But today, why are we falling apart? Why are we breaking into pieces? Because we have forgotten the true peace which is within and not without. We have forgotten that ocean of peace, the Supreme Father, whom we all are connected with. And because that connection has been lost, we are falling apart, breaking into pieces. So what is peace? How will you define peace? Somebody gave a very interesting answer. No war is peace. But is that true? No war is peace? Is it the right answer? If there is no war, does it mean there is peace? Because again, the definition of war, what is war? It's in a form of a thought first. Wars begin in the minds of men before they come on the battlefield. So where does the war start? It starts in the mind first and then comes on the battlefield. So if war starts in the minds of men before it comes on the battlefield, then where will peace start? Should it start from the battlefield? Or should it start from the mind? Yes? From where should it start? Yes? It should start from the mind. So, how do you define peace? Is it just no war? Is that peace? Definitely not. It has to do with the mind. Because it's a power. We talk about so many other powers too. For example, the energy, physical energies. We say light is an energy. Heat is an energy. And the opposite of light would be darkness. The opposite of heat would be cold. But cold is not an energy. It's the absence of heat which is cold. The temperature we measure, it's not on the basis of cold, it's measured on the basis of heat. And when the heat is reduced, well, it's cold. Similarly, darkness is not any power, it's not an energy. Light is an energy. And absence of light is darkness. Absence of heat is cold. So if we want to define cold, how will you define it? Absence of heat. If you want to define darkness, how will you define darkness? Absence of light. You can't define light as absence of darkness, can you? Will you define light as absence of darkness? No, because darkness does not have any source. But light has a source. So the definition of light will be based on the source. It is the rays coming from the sun, because sun is the source. And when it's absence of that energy, it is darkness. Similarly, peace is a power. Peace is not just absence of war or absence of sound, absence of something. No, peace is the presence of something. And therefore it has to be defined through the source. What is the source of peace? That is the self. And therefore it is said, if you want to experience peace, go within. It is in your thoughts. Peace is just one thought away from you. If you say, I am peaceless, then peace is thousands of miles away from you. If you think, I am peaceful, peace is with you. Now it's how you think. And therefore the saying goes, as you think, so you become. If you think you are peaceless, then no one in the world can give you peace. Even God can't give you peace, even if you beg to God, oh God, give me peace. Because it's all in your mind. So if you think I am peaceless, you will never experience peace. And if you think you are peaceful, no one can make you peaceless. Am I right? Or do you have any other suggestion? Because peace can't be asked for. For example, I am in peace, I am at peace, you know. I'm very peaceful now. And you ask me or tell me, sister, can I have some of your peace? How will I give you? Take it. I'm eating ice cream and you're asking for, okay, I can share. But peace, how will I share? It's not something physical. Physical things you can share. I have $10 and you want $5. I say, okay, I have 10, I can give you 5. But then when I'm giving 5, only 5 will remain with me because I had 10 and I gave away 5. So I gave 5 and I'm only 5 with me. But is peace like that? No. But I can surely share it. And even if I'm sharing it, I'm not losing my peace. On the contrary, my peace will double. That is why it is said, peace shared is peace doubled. Happiness shared is happiness doubled. But how do I share it? How do I share peace? Through my thoughts, through my feelings, through my attitude, through my words, through my actions. That's all. There's no other way. It's not something physical. And therefore, by sharing that, my peace won't reduce, mine will increase. And how do I share? Through my thoughts. When I have thoughts of peace, which I vibrate into the atmosphere, and that gives you peace also. You go to a certain place, and you say, oh, it's so peaceful here. It's so peaceful here, even if there are many people around. You know, here you move around in this campus, there are so many people around. But still, what do people say? Oh, it's so peaceful here. You may go to a cemetery where there's hardly anyone there. But I don't think you will say it's very peaceful here. You don't want to be there. You want to go away. Because the people who have been there have maybe left behind many vibrations or thoughts of sorrow, because they have lost their near and dear ones. And therefore, you would not experience really peace there. You want to be away. And here, in midst of so many hundreds of people, you feel the peace. So what was the reason for experiencing peace in a cemetery or a cremation ground, wherever? You don't want to stay there for long, although there's nobody there. So peace again is not absence of people, it's not absence. It's a presence of a very great power. Somebody may say, when my stomach is full, then only I'll be at peace. Some people say, the needs, if they are fulfilled, then I'm at peace. So it is a fulfillment of the needs. Food, water, shelter, clothing, all these are needs. And if they are fulfilled, then I get peace. But even if they are fulfilled, am I still at peace? Because needs are not many. Wants are unlimited. So if I have many wants, although my stomach is full, but I want something. Although I have many dresses, but I want that dress. I have many shoes. How many shoes can I wear? How many dresses can I wear? How much can I eat? But still, wants have no end. And therefore, needs are not many, but wants are unlimited. They become my desires. And as my desires, I go for them, these desires become longer and longer and longer. There's no end. And therefore no peace. We give a very beautiful example of, there is light behind me and I'm giving my back to the light and I'm against the light. And when I'm against the light, I see my shadow. And as I go towards my shadow, what happens? My shadow grows longer and longer and longer. And light is still. And I am going towards my shadow. And what happens? I'm going towards darkness and darkness and darkness. And the shadow is growing. But I'm going away from the light. But if I really want to reach my shadow, I will never be able to reach, because it's going away and away from me. And ultimately I will be in total darkness. I will neither be able to hold my shadow, nor will I feel the light. I get nothing. I'm empty. But if I turn around and go towards the light, what will happen? My shadow will become shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And I'll go towards the light. The light will increase in front of me. And as I reach the light, the shadow will disappear. Have you all tried it? Experiment upon it. Go near a light post on the road and you'll experience this. So as we go towards the light, the shadow gradually not only diminishes, you reach the light and the shadow is gone. Finish. Where did it go? Actually, it is nothing but my reflection. And therefore, what are these desires? These desires are nothing but they keep growing, because we are going away from truth. We are going away from the light. And wants become unlimited. Needs are not many, and I'm going in search of peace. But my peace is going away and away from me. This is what we are experiencing in life. And therefore the need to do meditation. Because meditation teaches us to go within. You don't have to look for peace anywhere else. It is within you. It's in your thoughts. It's in your feelings. But how do I go within? You know, many people, when we tell them, go within, look within, search within, it's within you. And you know what they reply? They say, I'm afraid to go within. Why are you afraid to go within? It's just like, you know, you have a cupboard and many things in that cupboard. You have just dumped many things. And you have also dumped something which you are wanting now. You have a need of it now. And it's in that cupboard. But you're afraid to open the cupboard. Why are you afraid to open the cupboard? Because there's so many things inside. And if you open, maybe all will fall down. Everything you have dumped inside. And maybe you will not be able to find what you are really looking for. Because there are so many other things also dumped inside. And therefore you are afraid to open the cupboard. So it's like opening yourself. So much negativity inside, so much negativity. Where will the peace come? It will not. So now this red light is giving us a signal. Look within. And you will find your peace within. Don't be afraid to look inside. You can definitely overrule all other things and find what you are looking for. sometimes it happens that when I'm trying to look inside, I feel that I'm totally blank. I'm totally empty. I may have everything externally. All is there around me. But still, I'm not really experiencing peace. So when I'm told to look within, maybe there isn't the negativity, but I feel empty. Empty inside. Why? Why do I feel empty inside? Because I think that I'm really not sure of myself. Although I may have everything. So I'm trying to look for peace inside, but I'm not aware of who I am. And therefore I look for peace outside. I look for peace in all the glamour outside. And I feel that I will be at peace only if I get that or I get that or I get that. Only then I'll be at peace. And after getting that, still I'm not at peace. So outside also I'm not able to get peace, and internally also I'm not able to experience peace. But if I am sure that it is within me, I will surely search within. Why I feel empty now? Because I'm ignorant of the self. Ignorant of who am I. This is such a big multi-million dollar question. Who am I? The greatest of scholars have asked this question. Greatest of philosophers have asked this question. Aristotle, Socrates, Plato, all of them ask the same question. Who am I? Who are you? Whenever this question is asked, we give so many replies. We apply so many labels to ourselves. I may tell my name, I may tell my occupation, I may tell my religion, I may tell my nationality, I may tell my physical appearance, I may tell about all what attainments I have. I can tell all this about myself. You know, big profile of myself. But then, is that really I? Is that really I? Because when you say, I want peace, who is that I? Is it the body? Because all that profile which you gave or whatever my bio data was given, is that the real me? Because again, this is all perishable. If I say I'm a rich man, is that really me? Is that wealth really mine? When I came into this world, did I bring that with me? And when I die, will I take that with me? Because if something is really mine, I have brought it and I will take it back. You have brought your whatever belongings and you will take it back. Similarly, when I came in this world, what did I bring? And when I go back, what will I take with me? So none of these physical things. That's why there's a story about Alexander the Great. He wanted to conquer the whole world, become the king of the world. Wherever he went, he conquered. But a realization came to him when he was dying. That Alexander, you are dying. What are you going to take all? Are you going to take all this with you? The realization came too late. And before his death, he told his people, his soldiers, that when I die and you put me in the coffin, at that time make two holes on the sides of the coffin and take my hands out of that coffin and let the world realize that Alexander the Great wanted to become the conqueror of the world. But when he died how? Empty-handed. Because nothing of this world is going to accompany me. But yes, something accompanies me. But I'll be able to realize that only if I really know who I am. So all the physical labels which I put on me, they are not really the true me. When I say I want peace, who wants peace? Who wants peace? Is it the body which wants peace? I don't think so. When somebody dies, the body is laid to rest. No? Laid to rest. It's buried. But still we pray to God for what? Oh God, may his soul rest in peace. So the body is already lying in rest. It is already laid in rest. It is resting. But still we pray for the peace of the soul. So who really needs peace? Is it the body which needs peace or is it the soul which needs peace? Yes? What will you answer? Who wants peace? The soul. Now how will the soul experience peace? When you say, I want peace, okay, I want peace, I'm a soul. I'm not this body. The body doesn't need peace. On the contrary, the more the action the body does, the more stronger it can become. Because, you know, sister was saying you had to walk a lot. You must be tired, you must be exhausted. But the more you walk, the better for you. No? What do you think? The better. You become stronger. Your legs become stronger by walking. Your hands become stronger by doing physical action. Your brain also becomes stronger by really thinking positive. But we think negative because we don't give the proper food for thought. And because the food for the mind is not strong, not good enough, then we realize that all the negativity has entered in me. Just like the body, we need the proper food. Similarly, the brain also needs the proper food, you know. And the mind needs the proper food in the form of positive thoughts. Again, we have to understand the difference between the mind and the brain. Mind and brain are not the same thing. Mind travels. Brain is only here. It's not the brain which thinks. Brain is just like the hardware of a computer. It is just a storage tank, whatever you may call it. It has got all the programs, no doubt. But the real thing is the software. There may be a very wonderful, huge supercomputer, but no software in it. How great use is that computer without the software? So I'm not the hardware, but I'm the software. That is why there's a saying that you are not what you eat. You know, you're not what you eat. You may say, why not? I'm what I eat, because if I eat a lot, I become fat. So I'm fat, I say. But truly, let me tell you, many fat people, they are so light, they are so light, even if they are very heavy in weight, physical weight, but mentally they are so light. You tell them to dance, they'll start dancing right now. You know, they are so light inside. Physically they may be heavy, but not mentally heavy. And there are other people who may be physically very thin and lean, you know, not much weight. But you tell them to dance, no. Okay, you know, because internally they are heavy. Someone who is light inside, even if he is physically heavy, he will still dance. And somebody who is heavy inside, even physically if he is lean, he will not want to stand up also. He says, no. Because internally he is heavy. So, who am I? What am I, heavy or light? So, I am not what I eat. I'm not what I wear. No, not at all. There's a very interesting saying. We say, God made man. A child is born, he has no clothes. God made man, and the tailor made a gentleman. The tailor made clothes for him, and he became like a gentleman. When he was born, he had no clothes. So tailor made a gentleman, but there's a statement after that. The tailor has made you into a gentleman, but ask yourself, how gentle am I? The word gentle. Gentleman is not just, you know, a very good up to date or my coat and pant and tie, I'm a gentleman. I look very smart. But it is all inside. How much gentle am I? So it's not you are what you wear. The external personality may be very good, but internally it's not like that. He may be something, he may be a cheat. He may be a thief. He may be a bandit. You never know. Externally he may look very good. So you are not what you wear. Many terrorists, they come in that they wear a dress of a military man, an army man, a soldier, and they are internally actually terrorists. So how can you understand from his dress what he is? Therefore, you are not what you wear. You are not what you do. Again, all that is hardware. From morning till night, we do so many things. Somebody may be a managing director in a firm, but at home he is gardening. A managing director in a big firm, a big company, but today is a holiday, not going to office, and at home I love gardening, that's my hobby. So, at that moment I'm a gardener. In the office I'm a managing director. So you are not what you do. You do so many things from morning till night, so many different codes, you know, different things you do. You don't become that. An actor plays so many roles in so many different films. In one film he's a doctor, in the other film he's a lawyer, in the third film he's a politician, in the fourth film he's an ordinary driver. You know, any film, any role he can play. But these are different roles, it's not the identity. Identity is something different. So a managing director or a gardener or a driver, whatever. These are all different roles that you are playing. It's not your true identity. So you are not what you do, but you are what you think, what you feel, what you experience, what you visualize, the soft part. You are that soft part. So, your intuitions, your inspirations, your feelings, that's the soft part and that's what you are. So again, if you think I'm peaceless, then that soft part will say peaceless, then no peace. If you think I am peaceful, again the soft part, the thoughts, you are peaceful. It's how you think, and as you think, so you become. So peace is either millions of miles away from you or it is just with you. It's all in your mind. It's in your thoughts. And that's real me. So who am I? What am I? I'm not something physical. That's the hard part. But I'm the soft part. I have come from before, even before this body was created. And I will continue to be even after the body perishes. Because I never die. I am eternal. I am immortal. I am imperishable. And that's why we say, somebody died, but we pray for the peace of the soul. That means we say, he's gone to God. God has sent. So God has sent me and I go back to God. That means, I'm not this physical body. I'm an eternal entity. I'm an immortal entity. Even if the body gets burnt, it gets burnt, but the soul will never burn. The soul can never be cut. The soul can never drown, even though the body may drown. So I am that eternal, immortal, imperishable, indivisible and invisible entity. I am that light, an eternal light. We light a candle. What does that candle represent? We go to the church, light a candle. Somebody dies, you know, we took for condolence, we light candles. And though that flame actually depicts the eternity of the soul. That means the soul is eternal. And we pray for the peace of that soul. But again, a very bitter truth, that if you want that soul to be at peace, you have to be at peace first. It's a bitter truth. We are crying because we lost that friend or beloved or near and dear one. And we want peace for that soul because we love that soul. And we are crying. My thoughts of sorrow will reach that soul. And that soul will also experience sorrow. So if I really love that soul, then I would want that soul to be in peace. So I will also be in peace at that moment. But if I'm in sorrow, how can I give peace to that soul? Did you get my point? If I am in sorrow, that soul will also be in sorrow. And if I love that soul and I want peace for that soul, then I have to be at peace, in peace myself. And if I am at peace with myself, I can give peace to all. This is how we understand peace. And therefore, who am I? I'm not this role, I'm not these physical labels, but I am an eternal, immortal, imperishable, indivisible, an invisible soul. Some people say, but if there's a soul, why can't we see the soul? We say, how can we see the soul? The soul is not physical. These eyes are physical. These physical eyes can see only physical things. And that also not everything, even though it's physical. Can you see something which is hundreds of thousands of miles away? No, you need a telescope, maybe. Something very minute, insignificant. No, you can't see, these eyes can't see. You need a microscope, you know, you need some instruments for that. Again, if there is a physical instrument. But the soul is not physical at all. It is metaphysical, it's above physical. It is something which can be only experienced. But it's not even physical energy. You know, we have different physical energies too. For example, we have this sound energy. You can't see sound. You can only hear sound. Sound has its wavelength, sound has its speed, velocity, everything. The same thing goes with light. Light has its velocity, speed. You can measure that speed because it's physical energy. You know, they say that when the sun ray starts from the sun, it comes to earth, it takes 8 to 10 minutes. That's what they say. 10 minutes. For the ray from the sun to reach the earth. But for the mind to reach the sun, how long does it take? How long? You can reach the sun through your mind in 1 second. So what's the speed of your mind? Is mind physical? Definitely not. No neurosurgeon will be able to tell you where is the location of the mind in the brain. Because it's not a physical thing. It'll tell you where the hypothalamus is, where the thalamus is, where, you know, pituitary gland is, pineal gland is, you know, all other things. But where's the mind? So mind is not physical. Mind is a faculty of the soul. Mind is the greatest spiritual energy. It is such a great human resource of the universe. We talk about physical resources, they are exhausting. But the spiritual resource, which is the mind, which is the master of everything, that how much we have understood, how much we are wasting. And if we can really understand the mind and utilize our thoughts in a worthwhile way, we can conquer the world spiritually. Because we are able to then conquer the mind, we are able to conquer the senses. Today the mind is like a vagabond. Why? Because it's taking the directions from the senses, the physical senses. Sense of touch, sense of smell, sense of sight, sense of hearing, you know, sense of taste. All these five senses, they are directing the mind. A small example. You go to a museum and it's written there, please don't touch, please don't touch. You know? And what we do? Do we keep aloof? No, we like to touch. No, hope nobody's looking around and we go and touch. Therefore, now everything is kept in a showcase. You have to be at least a few feet away from it so that you don't go near it to touch. Otherwise, why should it all be in a glass case? It can be kept open. But still people touch in spite of it being written there. Because the sense of touch is so strong. The sense of taste is so strong. It pulls the mind. The doctor has said, you have diabetes, you should not take sugar. But the mouth waters. I love sugar. And those who have diabetes, their mouth waters more.
Yes.
That craving for sweet is there. You want to hear loud music. And you say, oh, make it louder, louder, louder. Because the mind cannot think anything at that time. The sense of hearing is so powerful. But in the long run, what happens? Because the mind has been conquered by the senses, ultimately even the senses give up. You know, too loud sound. You know, people like to put headphones and they are listening and listening and listening. Ultimately it may happen that your hearing, you know, can be reduced. Maybe somebody can become deaf also. Too much loud sound, one can go deaf. The ear drums break. It happens. So these senses have become the masters today. And the result of all that is all the viciousness in the world. Lust, anger, greed, attachment, ego, jealousy, hatred, you know, all these viciousness. Because the senses have become the masters. And if the senses become the masters, it is just like instead of the driver controlling the car begins to control the driver. What if the brake fails? The driver can't control the car. What will happen? Nowadays they are trying to produce driverless cars, you know, all working on computers. Maybe they are better off sometimes, because driver can go to sleep. but the computer will never go to sleep. But then, does it have an understanding? Definitely not. Your computer, it doesn't have an understanding. It will just, whatever has been fed, only that will be revealed. That's all. Nothing new will go if it's not fed. But I am very different. I have feelings. I can think of the past. I can not just think of this past, but even a lot of past. And therefore we say that you are not this brain, you are not the body. The body needs work all the time. Your heartbeat is beating even before your birth. It continues till death. It doesn't stop. Your digestion power is working. Even if you are sleeping, you are digesting food. Your lungs are working, your heart is working, your liver is working. All the sense of the physical parts in the body are working. So what exactly is peace? It's not this body which wants peace. It's the soul. But then soul means the mind. Soul means the thoughts. The thoughts of peace in the mind, which are different from the brain. Brain is working all the time. Even in sleep you get dreams, everything. It is working. So the mind should be able to control the senses. The involuntary organs are working, but the voluntary organs, they are under my control. If I don't want to raise my hand, I need not. I don't want to see, I need not. It's up to me. It's not that I say, oh, I don't know what happened, why I touched. I didn't want to touch. I didn't want to speak, but I don't know why I spoke. What do you mean why I spoke? You always have a choice what to speak and what not to speak. What to do, what not to do. It's not that I don't know how. Why and how, it means the senses are the masters. So, above the senses is the mind. But the mind, which is an entity, which is a faculty of the soul, the software. Also, so many thoughts come in the mind. So many thoughts. We were sitting here for 3 minutes in silence. But in those 3 minutes, how many thoughts must have come in your mind? Somebody made the statistics of it. In 1 minute, there are 60 seconds. And in that 1 minute of 60 seconds, if you are told to be in silence for 1 minute, in that 1 minute, at least 30 thoughts will come in your mind. 30 thoughts, at least, even if the mind is very peaceful at rest. And if you are stressed, oh my God, countless thoughts can come even in 1 minute. And therefore we say, mind has many thoughts, but you can't bring all those thoughts into action. Something above the mind. It's your inner voice, your inner conscience, which is always guiding you. And that's what we say, the voice of the soul, which is guiding you. It is your intellect, the decisive factor in the soul, which acts like a sieve, which rejects or accepts. A sieve has that capacity to reject or to accept. So that's my intellect. My intellect, which is a deciding factor in the soul, my inner voice, which is always guiding me. And whenever I go against that inner voice, I feel guilty within. Because it's not my true self. I've gone against myself. I'm under the pressure of the senses. So there is the mind, there is the intellect, and then there is what I have done in my life. They don't go in vain. My actions then have an imprint on the soul itself, and they become the impressions which are carried forward by the soul. And these impressions again, they give rise to our thoughts. So it's like a cycle. And that's the true me, the self. And when I'm aware of myself as a soul, as a spiritual entity in this physical body. I am not a physical body having a spiritual entity in me, but I am a spiritual entity in this physical body. And when I understand myself in that way, then I become aware of my true nature. And what's my true nature? My true nature is peace. You know, nature, we have nature, all the 5 elements, they are part of nature. Every part of nature has its own own nature. For example, what is the nature of fire? The nature of fire is heat and light. If there's no heat and light, it's not fire. It may seem to be fire, but it's not fire if there's no light and heat. So fire means its nature is light and heat. What is the nature of water? The nature of water is coolness. Even if you heat the water, you leave it aside after some time, it will become cool. Because that's its true nature. So everything tends to go back to its own nature. You throw water, you drop water, the water always goes downwards. Why doesn't it go upwards? You may say, how can it go upwards, sister? It has got that weight. It goes downwards. You light a candle, light a matchstick, the light goes upwards. Why upwards? Why not downwards? We say the source is upwards. The sun is the source of light, and therefore it will go upwards. The ocean is the source of water, and therefore it will go downwards. All the rivers will flow downwards towards the sea. So everything tends to go towards the source. And here we say spiritual energy. The source is the supreme. And through meditation, we connect that self with the supreme. By first becoming aware of the self as an embodiment of peace, of love, of happiness. Because that's what we really want in life. Why are we wanting success in life? This. Because ultimately we are looking for peace. Ultimately, we are looking for love. We are looking for happiness. And that's what my true nature is. Anger is not my true nature. Jealousy is not my true nature. That's why I feel guilty when I'm having such thoughts, which are negative. But when I'm having thoughts of peace, I feel so relaxed. Because that's my true nature. And what is peace? It is the positive thoughts which come in the mind. And if there are thoughts of peace, it becomes a power. And this is the power of peace. Okay? Yes? Understood? Do you have any questions? Maybe not now. I don't know. Judy? Not now. Okay. So, yeah, there will be surely a session on question answers. So let us experience this for a short while. Okay? Only for a minute. Let us go beyond. Let us go within. Ask yourself, who am I? Who am I? And the answer will come from within. I am a spiritual being, a soul, a point of divine light, eternal in nature. Immortal and imperishable. I was never born, and I will never die. I existed even before this body was born, and I will continue to exist even after the body perishes. I am the child of God, my eternal Father. I am a divine being. My true nature is divine. I am peaceful soul. Peace is my true nature. I can go into the depth of peace like a drop merging in an ocean. And experience the power of peace. I am light, double light. I can fly beyond like a bird. With my wings of mind and intellect, I can travel anywhere, even beyond this physical cosmos, into another dimension in 1 second. I can travel to the world of silence. My eternal home of silence. And become very, very peaceful. I'm surrounded by peace all around me. How peaceful I am. I am now aware of my true self. I can go into absolute silence. Having experienced my inner peace, I now come back into action and work through my senses, but with a different type of thinking. I have to share peace with all through my thoughts, words and actions, as all are peaceful beings. Only then can peace come in the world. I have to be at peace first if I want the world to be at peace. Om Shanti. 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 That's it. Okay.
Thank you very much, Srila Ben. Do you feel the power of peace? Yeah. Carry that with you to lunch, please.